With SDPB News, I'm Patrick Williams. In step with similar communities, Rapid City has approved a reduced budget for the upcoming year. In total, the city will function on $3 million less than the 2024 budget. SDPB's Jay Keene has more.
The decision was finalized this week on a 9-0 vote from the local council. In 2024, the budget was finalized at $340 million. This year's budget lands at $337 million. This comes after Sioux Falls also announced a smaller budget pool for the coming year. Within the wider budget debate were other items like the funding of the Minnie Luzahan Senior Center, discretionary funds for the mayor's office, and increases to fire and police services. First, the $60,000 fund to the Senior Center was ultimately approved by the wider board after debate in last week's Legal and Finance Committee hearing. Next, the discretionary funds from the mayor's office were approved as part of the America 250 celebration. In committee, some council members balked at the lack of oversight the mayor would receive in the process, but ultimately the matter was passed with no amendments. The America 250 celebration is seen as a potential tourism draw for the community. In turn, Councilor Katie Meyer, who works for Visit Rapid City, abstained from the vote. The Rapid City Fire Department will see a near 9% increase with a $21.2 million budget. Likewise, the Rapid City Police Department operates just shy of $30 million, which tallies a 2.7% increase of funding. Despite the drop in overall budget, the city still tallies a 4.4% increase in the general fund. City leaders say that difference will continue to pay for local day-to-day operations. The 2025 budget can be found in full online at sdpb.org/news. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
Governor Larry Roden has announced a task force dedicated to correctional rehabilitation efforts. This comes with a special legislative session on the horizon aiming to decisively answer the prison construction debate. Many opponents of new construction advocate for additional programs to rehabilitate inmates to reduce recidivism rather than invest in a wholly new facility. Roden, in a statement, says the current prison facility lacks needed resources to help reintegrate inmates into society upon release. The New America Institute, a public policy think tank, estimates 94% of inmates will be released from prison within their lifetimes. Governor Larry Roden is appointing John Schubeck as District 16 representative in the State House of Representatives. He's filling the seat formerly held by Representative Richard Vosgaard, who died last month. Schubeck served in the United States Marine Corps for 20 years. He received the Bronze Star, Navy Commendation Medal, Navy Achievement Medal, and Combat Action Ribbon for his time and service. He lives in Beresford and manages a farm that produces both grain and livestock. He's planted a church in Centerville and is the head track coach of the Centerville middle and high school teams. Schubeck says he plans to continue Representative Vosgaard's legacy by putting the people of District 16 first in the same humble and hardworking manner that Vosgaard did. Following recent political violence, many are worried about the rhetoric in the United States. An event in Sioux Falls looked to spread a simple message: more potlucks, less political violence. SDPB's Jackson Dirks has more.
What do we expect? The potluck at Full Circle Book Co-op in Sioux Falls had about 20 people in attendance. Over a dinner of pork carnitas, candy, chips, and more, they questioned what can be done to curb political violence. Jordan Deffenbaugh is an organizer of the event and former candidate for city council. He says people need to have more face-to-face conversations if anything is going to change. And what better way to do so than over food?
A surefire way to start a fight is when people are hungry. That's called hangry. So this is an avenue where base level minimum, if you feed somebody, you fed them a meal. You gave them nutrients, you gave them life. Now go one further and get people together to do it and get more tons of people to show up with different types of dishes. It's really exciting to go to a potluck and it's filled with people that are passionate about giving back to their community through the form of cooking.
He says this isn't about pointing fingers or placing blame, but coming together as a community.
I'm not saying you drop your convictions. I'm not saying you change your opinion. I'm not saying that you completely cave to any sort of agenda by showing up to something like this. But what I emphasize to folks is like, show up, come in the spirit of listening, and something I like to call appreciative inquiry, where we are appreciating what someone is bringing to the table, whatever it's themselves or the dish, you know, and emphasizing in so many of the different realms of our perspectives, we bring so much to the community.
Deffenbaugh says he wants to see this event grow to start bridging divides and showcase the complexities of the issues society is facing. He plans to start that by holding a weekly potluck and pairing it with meaningful conversation. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Amid chaotic changes in policy, news reports, and broad shifts in culture, mental health plays as important of a role as ever in 2025. With September marking Suicide Prevention Month, Rapid City Mayor Jason Solomon declared the city will prioritize mental health services. He gave the remarks at the most recent meeting of the City Council.
Various local organizations and entities are well established in providing immediate, compassionate support to individuals, families, and the community and area at large impacted by suicide loss. This month is an opportunity to honor the contributions of the various local organizations dedicated to providing support, services, and raising awareness about suicide loss and reaffirming our city's commitment to compassionate crisis response.
Individuals struggling with mental health crises can call 988 free of charge to be put on the line with a professional. The Sioux Falls Veterans Affairs Medical Center has earned the highest possible rating for 2025. The survey, which gave the facility 5 stars, is part of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services 2025 Hospital Quality Ratings. Hospitals in this survey are judged on mortality, safety of care, readmission, patient experience, and timeliness of effective care. In the last 12 months, the facility upgraded several areas, including fall prevention, veteran homelessness services, and suicide prevention. It's Thursday, which means it's your Morning in Play. On this week's Morning in Play, SDPB's Nate Weck and Jason Andera highlight a Mobridge Pollock High School running back featured in the upcoming Tales from the Gridiron.
And welcome to another Your Morning in Play. I'm Nate Weck, joined by Jason Andera, both of us here at SDPB. Coming up here in November, Jandy, we've got Tales from the Gridiron. I know Yes. We talked about Tales from the Diamond here last week, November 6th, it's October 30th.
Okay.
It's going to air a week earlier this year, Tales from the Gridiron will. It'll be Thursday, October 30th. But one of the stories for this is on a running back from Mobridge Pollock. You had a chance to meet him. Why don't you just kind of set it up for us?
Yeah.
Who is he? And how'd you hear about him?
You know, sometimes we get, you know, really cool story ideas about people overcoming obstacles. And sometimes you're like, I just really want to meet this guy. I saw Max Saxon on Huddle film over the last couple of years because he's been starting since he's a freshman. He's a junior this year. And it's just different. Let's put it that way. He runs through people. He doesn't run around people. And I'm like, I got to get to know this guy better. So I had a chance to go to Mobridge, sit down with Max Saxon and his coach, Coach Donovan Flaherty, and got a lot of insight on who this guy is. And basically what it comes down to is he's just loves football. And, you know, the rest of his family doesn't play football. He's raised by his mom, who likes football but isn't, you know, really into it. His older brother was an athlete but never really got into football. But he has just loved football since day one, and he wants to continue to learn and learn and learn. And he said, you know, I definitely want to play college football. You know, it's hard to get noticed, though, here in Mobridge. We're in the middle of nowhere. So I'm like, even better. Let's give you a platform here on Tales from the Gridiron so people around the state know who you are. And I think he feels like a Division I type player. He's only a junior. He's already set the single season record for most rushing yards in a season in his sophomore year with Mobridge Pollock. And he's already over 2,000 yards in his career just early into his junior season. So he's doing some majorly cool things with this Mobridge Pollock team. And he was awesome kid. He was a little nervous, but he was an awesome kid to talk to.
Well, I was going
to
ask you, you know, sometimes with kids, was he quiet? He was pretty quiet.
He was a little quiet, but you can tell his personality is definitely outgoing. And you watch him on the field around the other guys. Yeah. He's a peppy guy. He's always bringing high energy. I'm looking forward just to getting to know him a little bit better through this story.
And when you look at, you know, a town like Mobridge Pollock, right, or a school, I should say, with the co-op that they've got up there, it's not a program that we've seen just, like, you know, have that dynasty run of championships and stuff like that. So when you have somebody like this that comes into your program, loves the sport, what does that do for the school and the community?
I think it energizes them. And, you know, the game day atmosphere has been more exciting here the last couple of years as their record has gotten a little better. This year they've started out undefeated so far. And, you know, they're not a school that has a lot of geographical rivalries, so it is hard to really get some of that juice on Friday nights. The closest rival they have in their own class is an hour and a half away, so it's hard to really build up energy and excitement for their sport, but a guy like this, he does that. He really does, and the game day atmosphere was awesome up there, and I can't wait to see, you know, how far this team can go. They're definitely a better team than they were even just last year, and Max Saxon is a big part of that.
Yeah, it's cool that they're undefeated. It's cool that there's a kid there that you got an opportunity to meet, and he kind of checks all the boxes.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is I'm not a great predictor of who's going to be good in high school or in college, but he certainly looks like one of those guys that could go to the next level and run. And I asked him if he wanted to play defense if he gets to college or if he wanted to play. He goes, no, I want to be a running back. And he said, I love Ashton Gentry. That's the guy he patterns it after. He even lines up in the backfield like Ashton Gentry does. So, you know, Ashton Gentry went to a small school in Boise State's kind of small. Maybe that's a small school, get a guy like this. And I love to, you know, promote these guys. And years ago, I remember meeting Tucker Kraft for the first time and when he was a junior in Timberlake, and it was the same thing. He had these pro aspirations and was getting overlooked, wasn't getting noticed. He had to self-promote. And I kind of feel like, you know, maybe Max Saxon's not a guy that's going to make it to the league. Maybe he will. But you just love giving these guys a little extra spotlight.
All right. This has been your Morning in Play with Jason Andera and Nate Weck right here on SDPB.
The South Dakota Arts Council and Governor Larry Roden are opening the Governor's Student Art Competition. The annual event gives students a chance to have their artwork on display in the Capitol Building and Pier. Students can also sell their artwork to become part of the state art collection. All students in kindergarten through 12th grade are eligible to participate in the program. There are four divisions, kindergarten through 2nd grade, 3rd through 5th grade, 6th through 8th grade, and a high school division. This year, 12 students from each division will be chosen. The South Dakota Arts Council is encouraging teachers and parents to help students work on submissions early to prepare their artwork and artist statements. The submission deadline is November 5th. You can find the full submission guidelines at sdpb.org/news. I'm SDPB's Patrick Williams. And that is your daily news update. Be sure to check back here Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on social media as well, so be sure to check out SDPB's Facebook, Instagram, and X pages. Thanks for listening.